I have a quick little riddle for you. The riddle goes like this. I am always around, but never seen. I am often avoided, but you can't outrun me. For I will come when you are old and gray, or maybe even the very next day. What am I? Death. Right? Death. Death is the one thing that we can't outrun. Death is the one thing that is no respecter of persons. Death does not care about age. Death does not care about wealth. Death does not care about your status or your position. When death comes, there's no way of arguing your way out. There's no way of negotiating a pass. Death is a very real reality in the world we live in because the world is fallen. It doesn't take too long before you begin to get just this reminder of how real death is. It can happen when you lose a loved one. It can happen at those moments when you gather at a funeral and there memories flash through your mind, emotions overwhelm you, and it's a moment to try to process, to try to figure out what's going on. There's even realities that every one of us in here face that death is real just in our own lives. There comes those moments and that point in life when you reach a certain age where your body just begins to slow down. It begins to go through this slow process of death. Muscles atrophy, bones weaken, teeth soften, weird things happen like wrinkles and gray hair or no hair. Right, it's this unavoidable process that just goes on and just goes on and finally comes to this climactic moment known as death. You're like, boy, I'm real glad I came to church tonight. Well, you should be, because there is a different perspective that I would like to show you that each and every believer can have and should have when it comes to death. You see, as you look in the mirror and you see things changing, as you look around and you realize that you have lost loved ones, that death is a real reality, you can come to know that though you are outwardly perishing, the Bible says, inwardly, the inner man is being renewed day by day. This little verse here gives us a new perspective or a reality about death as a believer, and I'd like to show you three things about it. Look at verse 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Death is real. But a believer has a perspective and has a certainty that is different than any other group in the world. Look at what happens as you look at this verse. First, you see the believer's reality of death. Now, if you ask somebody about death, they come to this reality or these terms of, well, death, it's final. It's it. You live, then you die. It's done. Some would say that death, well, death just restarts another cycle. I live this life, I die, and based on how good or how bad I do, I start all over, and maybe I get an upgrade in another round of life, or I get a downgrade, but it's just another time around. The believer's reality of death is, well, hey, time ends and eternity begins. The reality for a believer of death is that it's not finished, it's not over, but it rather starts really the best of times that are to come and to never end. As you look at this psalm or this verse, you see that the shepherd has now brought his sheep to a deep valley. Do you see it there in verse 4? "Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The way in which the psalmist David describes this valley is very graphic. He says it's this valley of the shadow of death. Just the understanding of it being a valley is one thing, but then to label the valley as the shadow of death adds yet more description on how serious, how dark, how dangerous, and how even fearful this journey can be. We've seen from verse 1, the green pastures, the still waters, the wonderful moment. But now we see that he's leading us in these paths of righteousness. And there comes a moment when the shepherd and the sheep must go through a deep valley. Now, for anyone in this time or any shepherd, the valley passage was a very scary passage. To give you the picture of what is being faced before you see really the reality that we have, you have a very deep gorge that water has eroded. And as water has eroded over time, it has curved through this set of mountains, leaving a deep valley and high mountains. This valley could be miles long, but only feet wide. This valley that could be miles long and only feet wide would be bone-chillingly cold because, well, the sun didn't penetrate in the valley. There was no sun, there was shadow. Even the very trees planted in the valley were struggling with all of their might, reaching up, trying to escape it because of its darkness, because of its chill, because of its uncertainty. As the valley would weave back and forth, the perspective of the traveler would be blocked. They could only see so far. They couldn't see around the bend. And so each step is a step of uncertainty as they would travel through the valley. And the psalmist says the shepherd is taking his sheep through this valley. They're traveling through the narrow parts. They're traveling through under the everlasting shadow that is cast. They're taking the bend of uncertainty, not knowing if a wolf or if a robber is around the bend to get them. But the shepherd is leading them through this. It's the reality that we all must go through this valley, but it gets even more intense when he says the valley is the shadow of death. Little phrases used throughout the scriptures. Job is a good place where the shadow of death is used. Job is a man, if you're familiar with him, he had a really rough time in his life. He had a moment of great affliction. He endured great darkness. He endured great depression and struggle. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his livelihood. I mean, he really went through it. And he would have moments in Job chapter 3 and in Job chapter 10 when he would describe his horrific moment of trial, his horrific moment of darkness. He would say, it is the shadow of death. Listen to how he describes it in Job chapter 10, verse 21. He says, before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death, without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Do you hear that description of the shadow of death and its darkness? Do you see how real and how scary this valley can be? But the believer has a very unique and important understanding of death. The believer's reality, look in the text, I want to show you. The believer in Christ, their reality of death is this. One, death is a passageway, not a destination. Do you hear that? It's a passageway, not a destination. The shepherd is walking his sheep through the valley. Nowhere does it say that they're lying down in the valley. Nowhere does it say that he's putting up a tent in the valley. Nowhere does it say that he finds grass in the valley. No, they are walking through it. It's a passageway, not a destination. Death for the believer is not the final abode. It's not the final place of rest. It is nothing more than a door that leads in to eternity. It is in the green grass that the sheep lie down. It is in the valley of the shadow of death that the sheep walk through. Now think of it this. Think about this for a moment. This understanding to see that death for the believer, it's not a final destination. It's a passageway. When you know that death is but a passageway, The believer understands it's a passageway into an everlasting kingdom. It's into an everlasting kingdom. The door of death opens up eternity with the Lord, but there's even more. How do I know that it's but a passageway and not a destination? We have somebody that has gone before us and proven it. You know, those moments when you're going to face something and you look for somebody who has gone and done it before you. You know, it happens way back when you're younger, and it's like you're getting ready to get your license and you're going to take your permit test, and you're talking to all your friends about, hey, did you take your permit test? And, you know, I remember when I took it, they would give us these paper tests and we would take them to school and we like hand them out. And it's like, if you got all the tests together, you could almost memorize all the answers. It's like, hey, do you have test A? I got test B. Let's, you know, meet up and we exchange answers because you want to know what you're getting into. And it'd be kind of messed up. You go to take your permit test and it's like, oh, I got A. I know this. B, C, D, E, A, B, done. Good, ha. I think I only missed two because that was the one I studied off of. Right? We look for somebody that's gone before. You know, it even goes into a further moment. When you get into college, you go to take a class. You want to know, has somebody taken this professor before? And you want to know what is to be expected. What's the homework load? Are they decent? Are they a good teacher? Now, I've even seen it where it happens even further on in age. You come to the point of a surgery and you find out that somebody else has had the same surgery you're going to have. And you ask them about it. Hey, who was your doctor? What medicines did they prescribe? How did it go? What was the recovery time? We want somebody that has gone before us. We can know the reality of death. It's a passageway, not a destination, because Jesus himself passed through death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 21, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Just as Jesus died and on the third day rose again, so all believers in Christ that die, there is a future resurrection. There is, as the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It is a passageway, not a final destination. Look at secondly, the reality of death for a believer. Death is a shadow, not the substance. Do you see how he describes it? It's the shadow of death. It's not death, period. It's but a shadow. The old famous preacher, Donald Gray Barnhouse, lost his first wife. And after he attended the funeral of his wife, he had his children with him, and he was trying to think of a way in which he could encourage his children that just lost their mother. As he was driving away from the funeral, in his car, he was passed by a big moving truck. As the big moving truck passed him and just blew by him in all of its force, the shadow of the truck was cast upon his car, and there was that kind of eerie moment of darkness, and then the van moved ahead and plowed forward, passing them up. Barnhouse, in his quick wit, saw it as an opportunity to try to encourage his children, and he simply talked to them as they were in the back seat and said, children, would you rather be hit by the truck or ran over by the truck's shadow? They quickly responded like, duh, Dad. We'd much rather be ran over by the shadow than ran over by the truck. He then went on to say, did you know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus was ran over by the truck of death, that you might only be hit by its shadow? Do you see? It's the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus has accomplished, our good shepherd, this amazing, wonderful reality for the believer that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? It is a shadow that you are hit by if you're a believer, not death. It's not it. It's not the substance. It's not what knocks you out. You're simply ran over by a shadow and taken into eternity with the Lord. This is a perspective, though. Remember that it's the believer's reality. Death has two ultimate outcomes, the Bible says. There is the death of the believer is to be with the Lord, but the death of a non-believer is an everlasting death of punishment and separation from the Lord. So look at the reality, the believer's reality. Death is, it's a shadow, not the substance. It's not the end, but rather ushers in eternity. But even in the concept, do you see it? The shadow of death, F.B. Meyer says so well, you cannot have a shadow unless there be a bright light shining somewhere. The shadow is temporary, the light eternal, for God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Oh, there's that shadow of death, but behind it is the everlasting eternal light of God in whom is life and life abundantly. Look at the third reality. You cannot run from death, but you can walk through it. You cannot run from death, but you can walk through it. Do you see the pace in which you go through the valley in verse 4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We spend billions of dollars as a society to try to run from death. We go to great extents to prolong days. We have become successful in many ways. We have prolonged life medically. We have even taken off the sheer cliff fall of many diseases and turned it into more gradual declines. We've had great success in that, but we still cannot fight off that final moment when the mortal body expires. You can't run from it. But the believer's reality is, but I can walk through it. Now think about it for a minute. Sometimes we walk because we're cautious. I mean, if it's this valley with these curves, I mean, there has to be some caution, right? I don't know what's around the corner. So I don't know if I'm coming around, I'm going to get bit and get rabies, or I'm going to get jumped and be stripped. There's a caution that can happen in walking, or a reason for walking. But there's also, think about it for a minute, there's also times when we walk, there's a confidence. There can be a caution, but there can also be a confidence. Caution in walking, we've made the mistake at times trusting a young child to shut the front door to the house when you leave to come to church on a Wednesday night. Yeah, I'll tell you right now, it's kind of a weird feeling when you pull into your driveway and your front door is wide open. And it's dark out, and it's like, oh man, I got to do that manly thing and go through the house. And I don't walk through the house. There's a caution. I walk through the house. I don't run through it. It's like, okay, oh, am I going to die? What's going to go on? And I walk through with caution. But then there's that moment when there's no need to run. I'm not scared. You can walk through. I'd put it this way. The shepherd leads the sheep through the valley. The shepherd bears the responsibility to be cautious for the sheep. The text says he has the rod. He has the staff. But you get to walk with confidence. You get to walk with a confidence that your eternity can be secure in Jesus. You can walk with a confidence that this is not the end. It is but the beginning of the best of all true life. Where there is no more valleys, where there is no more death, where there is no more pain, where there is no more sickness, where wrongs are righted, evil is triumphed, and the dead rise. That's the believer's reality. But there's more in the verse. There's also the believer's response to death. Do you see where he continues on? You walk through it, and as you walk through it, I will fear no evil. Do you see, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. The believer's response to death is, I will not fear evil. My response is not a response of fear. Think about it for a minute. Fear will not help you progress. Fear is paralyzing to a person. I mean, fear can bring an individual to a moment in which they do nothing. And the valley is not the final destination. The valley is not where the sheep or the shepherd remain. It is a pass-through to better pastures. It is the normal life of all sheep and all shepherds to chase the green pastures. And in those moments of chasing them to mountaintops, to valleys, there's the valley they go through, but they're not to remain there. Fear can paralyze you from moving forward. Fear can overwhelm your life. And the psalm says, even in the valley moment, I will fear no evil. Why can we have no fear of evil in one of the darkest and tragic moments in all of life when life ends? Well, we know throughout Scripture that we are not called to be people of fear, and that perfect love casts out fear, and that God loves us perfectly. And you even know the shepherd, that his guidance, remember, he's leading the sheep through, his guidance will even relinquish your fear of the unknown. He takes the bend before you do. The whole idea of I will not fear evil. Even in the valley, the believer, there's no harm or destruction that overcomes you. I'd like to show you the love of God. I'd like to show you that evil cannot come after you, that you might not fear, in three ways. Well, one, you have confidence of what's to come. It'd be easy to be fearful in the valley when you can't see around the corner and you don't know, if I make this turn, is there an enemy? Is there something tragic waiting for me? The believer can be in the valley and fear no evil because we're confident of what is to come. Listen to the words of Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Do you hear that? Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. Don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's not unknown. I'm confident in the valley, that there is a place that is prepared for me. That if you be in Jesus, there is a place prepared for you by the Good Shepherd. And so I fear no evil because I know what's around the bend. I know I'm walking through. I'm confident of a place where I will be with the Good Shepherd for all of eternity. I will fear no evil. But there's something in Scripture that even helps all the more in that fear. I will fear not no evil because even in death, have you thought about it, for a believer, the benefits outweigh the cost. The benefits outweigh the cost. What does it cost for death? It costs your mortal body. It costs this life. But you know, for the believer, the benefits are far superior. If you've ever been with a loved one in those final moments, when they're in the valley and the shadow brings such a darkness, it's heartbreaking. As a church family, we've been watching people go through terminal illness, and there's a older man in the church that I love, and I'm watching him each week as he comes in. You can just see that he's farther in the valley. The shadow and the narrowness of the valley is more present than ever, and the body is failing. But I know he fears no evil because the benefits are far better than the cost. He will shed that body. You will leave this body. But did you know that what is to come is far better than what you leave behind? Listen to what Paul says. In 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 54, he says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and in this mortal has put on immortality. Do you hear the change? It may cost me this mortal body, but I put on an immortal body. It may cost me this body and this life that is corrupt, but I put on what is incorruptible. The cost is nowhere in comparison to the benefits. Would you not do a straight trade over for that busted up old 82 Honda Accord with 400,000 miles for something brand spanking new? You're like, I'd give it up for like something 2000, 2002. You're like, I call pick a pole. They won't even come pick it up. I just want somebody to take it. Do you see? I will fear no evil because the benefits far outweigh the cost. God says, I take what's broken down, I take what's destroyed, I take what is lost, I take what has come to its end and expired, and I will raise it up incorruptible, immortal, with no expiration date. But I will fear no evil. There's even more. You're protected from evil. You're protected from harm. You're protected from the darkness. You're protected from the enemy. Do you see what's going on with the shepherd? He says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's a protection that the shepherd provides to the sheep in the valley. If you look at it, you notice that the shepherd is with me. The shepherd is not left. The shepherd is not only is he not left, but he's equipped. It says that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There is an easing, there is a reassurance that is brought by the shepherd's presence, but also by what is in the shepherd's hand. Look at the rod. You know, it might be understood to us as a baseball bat. You know, if somebody tries to break into your house, you've got the go-to baseball bat or a shotgun. You know what I mean? You have your rod. That's your device for protection. The rod for the shepherd is this club that would be used to beat off wolves, to beat down robbers, to even be thrown to scare sheep away from grass or weeds that would be poisonous or infectious to them. It's this device for protection. And look at what he says. Hey, the rod is there. Your rod is ready to correct. Your rod is ready to protect. Your rod is there to accomplish the job. I will fear no evil. Well, he's got his rod. He's protecting me as I walk through the valley. Now, if we put this in the understanding of many times what we are, if we're here tonight, we're spectators of this. You go to the funeral. It's not your funeral. And that brings grief. That brings hurt. That brings time of mourning where there's a need for healing. But it's the valley that you must walk without others. There's that moment where it's just you, but for the believer, it's just you and the shepherd. He's with you. Which gives you the third thing. The believer's reassurance in death. The believer's reassurance in death. This verse lets us know it's very real, but there's a reality. It's not a destination. It's a passageway. Hey, I can't run from it, but I can walk through it in confidence because my shepherd has gone before me. But the reassurance is this. Look at it. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The reassurance for the believer in death is that the Lord is present. He's with us even to the end. He doesn't abandon his sheep. The shepherd does not come to the valley and say, yo, I'll meet you on the other side and hike around. He says, let's do this together. You even find something very interesting in this, the shift in the psalm. Look, if you would, back at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Look at what he does in verse 4. He restores my soul. And then he leads me in paths of righteousness. But look at when you get to the valley of the shadow of death. For you are with me. Do you see that? You are with me. it changes. It's not like, well he's there. He's with me. He's present, or I see him. No, you are with me. There's a closeness. It's in that valley that he becomes more personal and more real than ever. It's in those last moments that he makes himself more aware to those that are passing through. He goes, you are with me. It's no longer he, but you. But I'd even say, look at this. You are with me, but the sheep is so close to the shepherd that he can observe that the shepherd has his rod and has his staff. He's in such close proximity in that moment that he sees the equipment of the shepherd. She is aware that the shepherd, he's got the rod and he's got the staff. There's a closeness that is present in death where it's no longer he, but it's you. It's no longer he, but it's my Savior. It's no longer him and whom I've read about or whom I've believed in, but it's you who I am coming to. There is a closeness that is not found or seen until the valley in verse 4. There's a closeness. The rod brings protection, but the staff is also used for guidance and direction. And the staff would also be used to bring reassurance to the sheep. The staff is used to count. That staff going over that sheep. Okay, you're in the fold. You're one of mine. I know who you are. You belong to me. There's also that great thing that the shepherd would have as he'd put that staff in the ground. The sheep, when they would get close to the shepherd for reassurance, they would lean on the shepherd, but they'd also lean on the staff. You know that moment if you've got like a huge oversized dog and just loves to be around you, right? It leans up against you and you're like, man, you're going to rip my knee out of joint here, right? And you kind of move away. But that staff was a part of that shepherd. He put that staff down, and that sheep would just lean up against it. And it's like, okay, I know that you're there because it's your staff. You are with me. Look at this. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, often fear, or you find really fear show up for the first time in Scripture after the fall. Fear, you see, is a byproduct of sin. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, they fell into temptation. They entered into sin, and sin was present in their life. Fear became very real to them. They were naked and afraid, and they hid themselves from God. The fear was the result that they were sinful, that they had fallen, they had disobeyed the Lord. Fear had entered along with sin and has ravaged our world. But you see here, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the shepherd is with me. Do you know where this fear is a result of sin? This realness of death comes together in this great statement that says, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you even in death. It's at the cross. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Death is very real, but in order for you to have life after death, life itself died on the cross for you and for me. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In me is life. I have life abundantly. I give life. But yet he himself died your death that you might have life. The fear as a result of living in a fallen world, even the fear that can be the reality of sin in our life as we try to hide from God, you can know tonight that the good shepherd went to the cross and he died for your sin. And he says, hey, I'm with you. I was crucified for you. I'm with you. My rod and my staff lean up against me. I'll bring you through this. I have not abandoned you, but I am closer than ever. So much so that it's in these moments of the valley of the shadow of death, even in moments of suffering, that God is closer than ever before. If you think, what does God know about suffering? What does God know about death? It's at the cross that you realize that he does know about suffering and death. The Father gave His only begotten Son to die our death. On the cross, Jesus suffered. He suffered physical agony, but He also suffered spiritual agony. You may see and feel, I've got to hide from God. But God says, no, you don't. Because I hid my face from my Son when He paid the price of your sin. He who knew no sin became sin, that you don't have to hide, but you might have His righteousness and be with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Tonight, may you take great comfort in the struggles of your fears, in the good shepherd who laid His life down for you. Would you bow for a moment of prayer?